with you some of the things that might help his church here at Sandy going forward. So I want to give you a little bit of a background about Psalm 105. A psalm is a song, and it's meant to be sang. And in the Bible, they'd sing this. I don't know what the tune was, though. And it's long. It's 45 verses. So I thought, rather than me read it all out, let's share this out amongst God's people, those that want to do some reading. So first of all, thank you to everybody that has agreed to do some of the reading. And if you want to sing it, please feel free. But you don't have to. There's no pressure on that, okay? But God's word is meant to be heard. And so we're going to have it up on the screen as well. So as we hear people speak it out, that's how they would have heard it originally. And the interesting thing is the background to this psalm is that David, I believe, wrote this psalm. And he was writing about where the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, was being taken into Jerusalem. And it's the first 15 lines of this psalm is in 1 Chronicles 16, where David wrote a poem to be sang to praise the Lord that the Ark of God was coming to Jerusalem. And then when they set up the temple in Jerusalem, this psalm was sang every single day in the services. And it was accompanied by music. So today we have Hillsong, we have Bethel Music and others, Phil Wickham. And David was like the Phil Wickham of his day, perhaps. He wrote all these songs. But some people think that it could have been the priest Asaph who took David's 15 verses and expanded it into this song here. And Psalm 105 is the history of the people of God, Israel. And it tells about the journey that starts off in the land of Canaan, which was the Gentile land. And it went on to Egypt and then back to Canaan, the promised land. So as we go through these verses, remember that this is through time, the history taking place, and it's a journey that goes around and around. It goes there and it goes back. And that's what we're going to be hearing today. And as I thought about this psalm, and I was thinking, wow, there's so much in this psalm. What am I going to preach about today? It made me think that it's like a jewel, like a great big diamond, and it's got many different sides or facets. And as you turn it round, you see something different. And it makes me think about, it's like the stars at night. There's loads of them. And at first you look at it and you can't seem to make a sense of the stars in the sky. But as you meditate on it, as you look, you start to see patterns emerge, constellations of stars emerge, and we see that. And this is what you may find as we go through this psalm here today. I really love the word of God, so I've deliberately gone through all 45 verses here, but it is in a children's version, so hopefully it's going to be good for all of us to understand what God is saying to his people through the writer of this psalm. So that's some of the background to Psalm 105. And we've got some volunteers. Thank you so much, volunteers, this morning. And Phil, can I ask you to do the first six verses, the call to praise, verses 1-6, please? If you'd read those out for us. Thank you.
Give praise to the Lord and announce who he is. Tell the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell about all the wonderful things he has done. Praise him, because his name is holy. Let the hearts of those who trust in the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and the strength he gives. Always seek him. Remember the wonderful things he has done. Remember his miracles and how he judged our enemies. Remember what he has done, you children of his servant Abraham. Remember it, you people of Jacob, God's chosen one.
Thank you, Phil. And it's interesting, isn't it, that I've highlighted some of the words in here, that there's we're to sing, and when we sing, we're happy, and it's a joyful thing. And then it says we're to seek, and then right at the end, four times, remember what God has done. Is there anybody here that likes singing? Yeah, I do too. So when you sing, are you happy? Does it make you happy? Great. Me too. But singing also helps us to remember that as we sing the words, we remember as we sing. So I've taken three themes here: singing, seeking, and remembering. And I think God is our friend, and he wants to be our friend. If God isn't your friend, he wants to be a friend with you. And God is always with us. But do you know what? Sometimes there's so much going on and we're so busy, so many distractions, that we don't realize God is always with us. And how do we seek? Well, if you've got a friend, you might want to go and spend time with your friend. And you might call them or text them or go around and see them, and you'll chat and you'll listen and you'll spend time together, and it's really good. So when it says seek the Lord, that Lord's a friend. He wants us to spend time with him. And we can talk to God when we pray. God hears what we have to say. He hears all of our prayers when we pray. And if we want to remember what the Lord has done, then the Bible tells us all the things that the Lord has done. So we can read our Bible and we can read about all the things that God has done and that God has promised us. Thank you so much. The next section 7 to 11, verses 7 to 11. Can I ask Rebecca if you would read those for us, please? Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you so much. And this is the Lord remembering his promises. But there's a word there that I wasn't sure. Does everybody know? What is a covenant? What does it mean by covenant? Yes. Sorry. Very similar. Yes, it does involve that, actually. Well done. Is there anybody else knows what a covenant is? Can it elaborate a bit more on that?
Almost a legal agreement.
Kind of, yes, it is. So a covenant, what was you going to say? Promise. Yes, it is. Yes, it's all of these things. So it's a kind of rule, it's a legal agreement, and it's a promise. And it's interesting. So God has made an agreement with you and with me. He's agreed that he's going to love us. He's promised he's going to take care of us. And because it's in that agreement, because we're in the family of God, we can believe what God is going to say to us. And in fact, God has got a covenant name. So for all of those people in covenant, in God's family, you will see the word Lord. And that's his name, Lord. So let's have a look. What does that actually mean then? Four times it says, he will keep his promise. He will keep his covenant. Four times it says that. And when it repeats it, it's important. It means it's important. God will keep his promise forever. See, is it forever? And we need to remember this. This is important. That what God says he will do will happen. Okay, the next reading, Jenny, would you kindly do verses 12 to 15, please? Thank you.
At first, there weren't very many of God's people. There were only a few, and they were strangers in the land. They wandered from nation to nation. They wandered from one kingdom to another. But God didn't allow anyone to treat them badly. To do them safe, he gave a command to kings. He said to them, "Do not touch my anointed ones. Do not harm my prophets."
Thank you, Jenny. It's interesting. They were strangers in the land. They lived in tents and they moved around and they didn't have a home. And God looks after them. God protects them. God keeps them safe. The next slide, please. There we go. And we're going to be looking at verses 16 to 25. Who is this, do you reckon? Who do you reckon this is? Joseph, yes. Excellent. And Hayden, can I ask you, please, to read out verses 16 to 25 for us? Thank you. Thank you very much. Excellent. And do you know what? Who knows the story about Joseph? It's kind of listed out here, isn't it? But he had a dream, didn't he? And in the dream, he was above his brothers, and he told his brothers, and they were a bit jealous about it, and they wanted to hurt him. And in the end, they decided not to hurt him, but they're going to sell him out away to be a slave. And he went off to Egypt, and he was a slave. And then it got worse. He was then falsely accused, and he ended up in prison. And he must have been thinking, Lord, God, you've given me this dream, and it's like, I'm now in prison? What's happening? And God gave him an ability to interpret dreams, and he interpreted some dreams. And then Pharaoh had these dreams, and there wasn't anybody that could tell Pharaoh what the dreams meant. And then somebody remembered Joseph, and Joseph interpreted the dream for the king, and the king made him the prime minister of Egypt. How cool is that? So one minute he's a prisoner, and then he's the prime minister of Egypt. And then God brought a famine, and in Israel, there's a famine. There's no food. There's nothing to eat. So his brothers then think, let's go to Egypt, where there's loads of food, and we'll get some food for our family. And can you imagine Joseph meeting all his brothers who sold him into slavery? So he could have done them a lot of harm, but what does he do? Do you know?
He says, do you know who I am?
Yes. And what does he do for them?
He gives them food.
He does. So this looked like a really bad thing that's happened. It was a really bad thing. Joseph was 13 years he had to wait. But it's a test. It's a test. Do you believe the promise God has given you? And Joseph had to be patient. So the lesson here, God turned the bad thing out for good. And Joseph passed this test because he kept believing the promise that God had given him, even though he couldn't see it. But it came true. He was patient, and then it came true. And that's the lesson for us, I believe, today. Next slide, please. Thank you. Who do you reckon that is then? Yay! Moses. Now, this is 400 years later. And if I could ask Seren, if you would please read verses 26 to 36. Thank you. Thank you very much, Seren. And so what happened is that in Egypt, In that 400 years, the Israelite family grew and they grew and they grew. And they were originally 70 people. And over 400 years, they're nearly 1 million people now. And there was more Israelites in Egypt than there were Egyptians. So the Egyptians didn't like the Israelites very much. And they decided to make things really difficult for them. Really difficult, really hard. And they cried out to God. And God sent his servant Moses and his brother Aaron. And God says to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, the Egyptian king, let my people go. But the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, was disobedient. He wouldn't do this. So God sent 10 plagues upon Egypt. Now, do you know how many gods the Egyptians had in those days? Have a guess.
20.
Higher, higher. A little bit higher. A bit more. A little bit more. A bit less.
80.
Yes, 80. 80 gods. They had a god. They worshipped the sun. They had a god of the river. They worshipped the Nile. And when they worshipped the sun, God sent darkness for 3 days. And the sun god could do nothing about it. They worshipped the river god. And God turned the water into blood. And the gods of Egypt could do nothing about it. And here we see the power of God. We see that he's almighty God. There is no one like it. Next slide, please. Thanks, Phil. So Pharaoh eventually lets God's people go. And they go off, 1 million of them, into the desert. And if we could have the next reading, please, that would be... Chris, if you could read us 37 to 41. Thank you.
He brought the people of Israel out of Egypt. The Egyptians gave them silver and gold. From among the tribes of Israel, no one but firewood fell down. The Egyptians were glad when the people of Israel left. They were terrified because of Israel. The Lord spread out a cloud to cover his people. He gave them a fire to light up the night.
Thank you, Chris. And actually, do you know that these five verses, 37 to 41, they cover four books of the whole Bible, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and a bit of Deuteronomy? All in these five verses, it summarizes them. And do you know what's really interesting to me? It's really amazing. No one got sick. 1 million people, they left at once, and not one of them was sick or weak. Isn't that amazing? And the other amazing thing is, as they were going, the Egyptians were giving them money and wealth and possessions and things. What was that all about? They were providing for the God's people as they were journeying through the desert, the wilderness. They would give them everything they needed on their journeys. And then this cloud cover by day, if you're in the desert, it's really hot. And this cloud covering was a protection for God's people as they walked through the desert. And at night, he gave them a pillar of fire so they could see light in the desert. What do we learn by this? We learn that God looks after his people. He feeds them, he gives them water, and he protects them. Next slide, please, Phil. Thank you. Verses 42 to 45. Val, would you read us these verses? Thank you.
He remembered the holy promise he had made to his servant Abraham. These chosen people shall be the joy as he brought them out of Egypt. He gave from the land of the nations and from the land of the nations. He let them take over what others had worked for. He did it so they might obey his voice and follow his law. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Val. God doesn't leave his people in the desert. He takes them to the promised land. Sometimes that takes time, and we must be patient, but we also must believe that what God has said, he will do. And it's interesting here, throughout Psalm 105, doesn't tell us anything about their journey. And in fact, it doesn't tell us anything really about the Israelites. The whole psalm is about God and what God said and what God did. Abraham received the promise from God, and the descendants of Abraham saw the promise fulfilled. And there's joy and there's singing. And the singing helped them to remember the story of their history, where they came from and where they went to. And this helps us to remember, this is the most important bit. God keeps his promises. Amen. What God has promised, he will do. It will happen. And interestingly, the psalm starts and ends with praising God. Everything we do start with praise and end with praise. And the Hebrew word for praise God is hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise God. So what does this all tell us today? This promise made to Abraham and his descendants is for all of us. All of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Saviour. The promises are for us as well. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It means that we can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who on the cross died that we may have life. He came to save us, just like God saved Abraham and Moses and Joseph. He saves us as well. And I think there's one thing about the Joseph story that really struck me, which is, whilst all this was going on, he was in prison, he was a slave, he never complained. And that's really incredible, actually. If I'd been through all of that, I'm not sure I'd never complain. But he knew that God was with him. And he believed the promise, and he remembered what God had said, that what God says will come to be. It will come to pass. Praise God. So, at this stage, can we remember what Jesus, what God, the Lord has done for us? Is there anybody that wants to just say something they're thankful for? I know we kind of done this, but if there's anybody that would like to just remember something the Lord's done for them and just share something you're thankful for, you don't have to, but this is an opportunity. If there's anybody that would like to share what God has done for them in their life, please, please share your story if you have.
I just want to share something that came up on my Facebook timeline this morning. 12 years ago, on my Facebook timeline, it came up and it said, "Woohoo! We've sold our house. We're out of chain. All we need now is for the house that we really want to become available next Wednesday. Because the house that we're in now had already been sold. And that was the house that we really, really wanted. And on that Wednesday, I can't remember why it was Wednesday, but it said Wednesday in the timeline, that was the day after. The next day, we got a phone call to say that the house that we wanted, the sale had fallen through, and didn't want to go and look round. So we went and looked round. We stood outside the estate agent's door, decided we wanted it, made an offer, and half an hour later, the person who had dropped out because their sale had gone through rebid because their sale had then come back on. But the lady we were buying from honoured the agreement with us. So that just reminded me of when I was like, whoa, whoa, what is that?
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, well, I'm gonna share one thing. I thank God that he enabled me to meet Val. And Val lived in one part of the country, and I lived in another part of the country. And we wouldn't have met, I don't think, but we were going on holiday. Not together, we were separate. And I met Val at Gatwick Airport. 30 years ago, 32 years ago, yeah. And I thank God that we met, and thank you. So there we go. Thank you. So look, if there's something you want to thank Jesus for, let's do that now when we sing our song. Let's thank him and praise him. And you know what? Tell other people about him. If there's people that don't know Jesus and what he's done, we should share it as well, not to keep it to ourselves. Can I give you all, let's give all the readers a round of applause. And I'm sorry if I didn't get a chance to ask you this morning if you can read. Next time, we'll try and do that next time.